Monica was an attractive young lady in her late 20s. Dark red hair, green eyes, pale skin, small in height. She worked in an office with dozens of other people. She never did anything to get in trouble with her superiors, did what was expected of her. She had a fairly mundane life, truth be told. Work and home, that was pretty much it. She had a few friends, but kept pretty much to herself. She had had a few boyfriends, but not any serious relationships in several years. She was always hoping for one, but never seemed to meet anyone of interest. Monica wasn't really the one-night-stand sort, so her sexual activities of late had been solitary. She was lonely, but just went on with life, longing for adventure, but never really seeking it out. One night, driving home in the rain, Monica pulled over with a flat tire. Great, she thought, just what I need. She wasn't far from home, maybe a 15-minute drive, when another car pulled up behind her, and a man got out to talk to her, to offer his assistance. She looked in her rearview mirror and saw another man in the passenger seat. She felt a bit nervous, but then told herself she was being silly. "Can I help, miss?" said an attractive young man, also in his 20s. "You look familiar. Do I know you?" Monica questioned him. "Wait, you work at the executive building downtown, don't you? My brother works in that building, too. I think we met at a Christmas party a couple of years ago, correct?" he stated. "Yes, that's it. I see your brother once in a while in the elevator," Monica said. "Well, I feel a lot better now, not some stranger on a dark and stormy night," she laughed. "Do you have a spare in the trunk?" he asked. "No, it's such a small trunk, I didn't want to waste the space with one," she explained. "Well, come with me and my friend. We'll drop you off, and you can call a repair shop to come get your car when you get home," he suggested. Monica felt a slight twinge of reluctance. But she had met this guy before, she told herself, and knew his brother casually. So she set her momentary thoughts aside, and got her purse, and got out of her car, locked it, then got into the back seat of his car, and was introduced to the friend in the front seat. They were soon on their way, and Monica told them her address, and they continued on, but missed the turn for her street. "That street we just passed. You missed it. That was my street. I think you can turn around in that parking lot coming up," she said. She saw the men quickly glance at each other and ignore her, and keep driving for around 10 more minutes. Monica speaking up several times, more frantic with each passing minute. Finally, they pulled into a driveway of a nice-looking Tudor-style home. The garage was open, and they drove right in, closing it behind them. Monica was frightened, not knowing what was happening. She couldn't believe someone she'd met was doing this to her. "I'm going to call the police," she said in a raised voice, getting out of the stopped car and making her way to the garage door and trying to pull it up in vain. The men didn't need to use any force. She was trapped, and there were two of them. They didn't need to be rough in any way. She was easily overpowered. She was around 5'2". They were around 6 feet. No contest here. She felt the arms of one of them wrap around her, holding her arms against her sides, as the other one placed a blindfold on her, and the other put a gag in her mouth and tied it around the back of her head. Her mind raced with what to do. She couldn't yell with this gag in her mouth. She couldn't even remember the man's name she'd met at the party. She'd only remembered his face, not his name. She fought as hard as she could, but it was useless. They were strong, and she was just too petite to be any threat to them at all. They carried her to a room, a bedroom, she assumed. She assumed they were going to rape her, and Lord knows what else. She couldn't believe this was happening, all from taking a ride with these two men, one of whom she'd met before. She chided herself for being too trusting. She must have been out of her mind, she told herself, for getting into a car with two men she didn't really know. Her mind raced as to what to do, how to escape. She knew her worst fears were going to be realized when she felt them undressing her. She tried to scream, but the gag muffled pretty well all sound escaping her mouth. They were not rough with her as they placed her nude body in a chair, a wooden chair, with arms like a kitchen or dining room chair. Her wrists were tied to the chair arms, and her legs spread, and ankles tied to the chair legs. Monica struggled in vain to escape. One of the men leaned into her ear, the one she'd spoken to and recognized his voice, but couldn't recall the name of. "It's all right. We aren't going to hurt you, I promise," he said softly. She didn't believe him, and continued to struggle and jostle the chair about. "We enjoy giving women pleasure," he whispered, sending Monica into a state of terror, just knowing they were going to assault her. "You need to relax. Now, if I take this gag off of you, you're not going to scream, are you? No one will hear you. This house is not that close to the houses on either side, and we're in a room at the far end of the house. No one will hear, and you'll just strain your throat, so there's no point to it. I said we will not hurt you, and we won't. You do need to relax, though. What do you like to drink? Rum and cola? Vodka and juice?" he asked. Monica couldn't believe her ears. They were offering her drinks? Like she was a guest? Were they fucking serious? She just wanted to escape and call the police. But she had a feeling she wasn't going to be getting out of here until they were ready to let her go. "Will you be quiet if I take the gag off? No one will hear you, as I said, so there's no point in hollering," he repeated. Monica thought about what he was telling her and figured struggling wasn't going to get her anywhere. She nodded her head to indicate she'd remain quiet if ungagged. The man took the gag off of her, and she remained quiet. "Now, what do you want to drink?" he asked again. "I'll have the rum and cola," she replied through gritted teeth. "That's better," he said. Although she was blindfolded, she could tell he was smirking as he said that to her. A couple of minutes later, she felt a straw at her lips, and she sucked up a mouthful of a strong drink, heavy on the rum, much lighter on the cola than she'd mix for herself. She drank it with great thirst, suddenly realizing it had been hours since she'd had a drink. She didn't have much in her stomach either, so she felt its effects quickly. "Here, I'll pour you another," he said, returning a couple of minutes later with another drink, just as strong. But she was enjoying the feeling of the liquor washing over her like a small wave. She did feel herself relaxing, which she wasn't sure was a good thing, considering her predicament. Monica could hear the men whispering to each other, but couldn't make out their words. She was worried what they were going to do to her. Of course, being naked, tied to a chair, and feeling a bit drunk from two drinks didn't look good from her point of view. She could feel their eyes on her, even though she was blindfolded. Their eyes seemed to bore into her, but they didn't touch her with their hands, and she wondered why. She didn't want them to, but she had no idea what they had planned for her. "When was the last time you came?" the other man said, that hadn't spoken to her before. Her jaw dropped. She couldn't believe they'd asked her such a question. "When was the last time you came?" he repeated. "That's none of your business," she replied. "I want to know how bad you need it," he smirked. Monica was stunned. She was tied up against her will with these two strange men, no way to escape, no idea what was about to happen. One of them came up to her and placed the gag back in her mouth. "Now that you've had your drink, you don't need to talk anymore," he said. She sat there, feeling the effects of the alcohol, when she became aware of the bottom of the chair having a panel slid out of it, and she felt her pussy sink down somewhat into the opening. She then heard the click of a light switch and felt the warmth of a light on her pussy, like a small task light had been placed on the floor and aimed up at her pussy, putting it on display. She heard them whispering again, and then heard a very low buzzing beside her right ear. She knew immediately what it was from the sound of it, a vibrator, then a sound that seemed to be the cap of a lube container being flipped open. "Look at that shaved pussy. It looks like it's in need of some attention, badly," the one that gave her the drink exclaimed. Very, very lightly, Monica felt the tip of the turned-on vibe touch her outer pussy lips, and she flinched. "Just relax and enjoy it," the one man coaxed. Monica sat there, knowing these two men were staring at her pussy and using this vibe on her as she sat there, not being able to move. She could feel they'd lubed the tip of it as she felt it gliding against her skin, smoothing over it with liquid ease. They didn't open her pussy lips, just lightly caressed the outer lips, up one side and down the other, teasing her until she began to squirm, further amusing the men in front of her. "Feels good, doesn't it?" one of them taunted her. She shook her head, gag and blindfold still in place. The vibe was removed, and then she heard it get louder. They'd turned it up a notch and put it back to her vagina, and she felt the ripples of vibration throughout her engorged cunt lips. "Look, she's getting wet," the first man said. "Look at the glistening lips. The light is showing the wetness," the second exclaimed. "Fuck, that is one pretty pussy. So smooth, so wet," said the one slowly teasing her pussy with it. He hadn't yet touched her clit with it, just the lips. He knew she was getting aroused, since the color of her lips was deepening, and they were becoming plumped up. Monica was dripping as these men did this to her. She could hear one unzipping his pants and start to breathe heavier. He was masturbating, watching his friend use the vibe on her pussy. The tip of the vibe slowly parted her pussy lips and finally touched her clit. She was indeed dripping. The vibe was slick with her juices, and the one holding it oh so slowly dragging it against her clit and exerting pressure, holding it right on her stiffened clit, and then dipped it into her pussy opening to drag some more of the juices up to her clit. Against her will, Monica could feel an orgasm welling up inside of her. It had been weeks since she had come, and the feeling of that vibe against her pussy and clit was sending her over the edge, whether she liked it or not. The gag was removed from her mouth, since they knew she was about to come, and they wanted to hear it. This was why they had brought her here, after all. They didn't want to miss the best part. She could hear the one masturbating, breathing heavier, and then he came and groaned, watching her pussy get rubbed with the vibe, and all of a sudden she arched her back, and even though she was disgusted with herself for coming under such circumstances, she couldn't help it, and she came powerfully as the vibe pressed firmly against her clit, and they didn't take it off until she had come hard. She lay there breathless and panting, feeling her pussy lips contracting as she orgasmed, trying to catch her breath. She felt herself being untied and helped back on with her clothes. The blindfold remained, though, as she walked back out to the car and was put in the back seat. She was led right back to her house and left on her doorstep as they quickly drove off. The whole experience seemed like a dream. Monica showered and got into bed and was surprised the next morning when she went out to the driveway and saw her car there with a new tire on it, not the flat one from the night before. She didn't know what to make of the experience, but she decided not to call the police, but she wasn't ever going to accept rides from anyone she barely knew again either. She considered herself lucky it hadn't been a lot worse. Life is indeed strange at times, she pondered.